Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Three Americans were killed in the Philippines today in a bloody series of attacks around the sprawling Clark Air Force Base. CBS News correspondent Richard Wagner has details in Manila.
There have been reports in recent weeks in the Philippines that Americans could become targets of communist rebels if the insurgents here believed the U.S. was increasing support for the extreme right wing and urging a heightened anti-communist offensive. No one so far has claimed responsibility for the shootings, in which two active duty American military men, one retired Air Force member, and a Filipino were killed. Major General Donald Snyder, commander of the 13th Air Force at Clark Field, urged U.S. personnel to take caution.
We've had a GI shot across McDonald in Mabalaca and killed. We've had a GI shot on the road from Friendship to Carmenville, and a Philippine national who stopped to see what was wrong was also shot and killed.
Clark Field houses some 26,000 U.S. service personnel, their dependents, and Defense Department civilians. Communist rebels are known to operate in the area, 50 miles from the capital, but in the past, they've refrained from attacking Americans. Richard Wagner, CBS News, Manila.
We spoke a short time ago with Nicholas Platt, the U.S. ambassador in Manila. He told us the attackers remain unidentified.
We have no information about who carried out these attacks. We're working with the government of the Philippines to provide security for Americans living in the areas adjacent to Clark Air Base. In addition, we have no specific information that Americans in Manila are under increased threat.
The number of shooting incidents suggests that it is an organized effort, to say the least. Is there any indication that the communist rebel organization, which has in the past threatened to do such things, may be behind these attacks?
There is no indication as of now. We're checking this out through every available channel, you can be sure. There is no indication that the threat is anything more than something localized in the Clark Air Base region.
But on the contrary, the flip side of that is that there's no indication that it may not widen.
There's no indication of that either. No, that's correct.
Ambassador Nicholas Platt in Manila. The on-again, off-again superpower summit may be back on track, and it's just possible Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev could be talking Turkey at Thanksgiving time. The White House and Kremlin this morning confirmed an important meeting late this week at the White House, with a high-ranking mailman bringing a letter from Gorbachev. Correspondent Terrence Smith has more.
Soviet Foreign Minister Shevardnadze will meet with the president Friday in an effort to overcome the last obstacles to a superpower summit. A Soviet spokesman in Washington contended that Mikhail Gorbachev's refusal to commit himself to a summit during his meeting with Secretary of State Shultz last week had been misread by the American media. Spokesman Igor Krapunov.
It presented the meeting in Moscow in more pessimistic terms than was the assessment of Mr. Shultz himself.
The spokesman signaled that as soon as a medium-range missile pact is finalized, a summit will follow. President Reagan will fly to West Point today to give a previously scheduled address on arms control at the military academy. He is expected to use the occasion to lay out his own views on what a summit should accomplish and when it should be held. Terrence Smith, CBS News, The White House.
This is Wyatt Andrews in Moscow. It will be Shevardnadze's second trip to Washington in 6 weeks, a new and unprecedented type of Soviet-American shuttle diplomacy. It comes as both sides say they are weeks away from finishing a treaty to ban medium and short-range missiles, a treaty that would dismantle more than 800 missiles and for the first time eliminate two classes of nuclear weapons. Yesterday, Soviet spokesman Boris Pyatyshev took pains to send new signals that when the medium-range treaty is concluded, Gorbachev will come to the United States.
The agreement on medium and short-range missiles, which is almost complete, will be signed at the highest level by the leaders of the Soviet Union and the United States, Mikhail Gorbachev and Ronald Reagan.
With Shevardnadze coming to Washington on 2 days' notice, it's as if the Soviets did not like being portrayed as the summit spoilers and have decided to quickly repair the damage. Wyatt Andrews, CBS News, Moscow.
5 minutes past the hour.
You're about to hear how Wang makes it work.
I was doing a seminar on network management in Atlanta, you know, making SNA work without IBM. And, you know, I mean, it's booked with MIS guys who don't believe it can happen. So I show them it has happened. over one of the largest SNA networks in the world. And here it is. No IBM mainframe, no IBM controllers, no IBM screens on a desk, no IBM iron anywhere. No, just five IBM look-alike mainframes, a Wang VS, VS computer at each node, hundreds of them, and thousands of our workstations, the entire continent, one network, and the whole thing, every twist and turn, managed by a Wang VS. I didn't even have to talk to them at all about the applications they were running. I just said, this is how you control a network today. And blink, 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 you can see the light bulbs go on.
To find out how Wang can make it work for you, call 1-800-522-WANG.
That number again, 1-800-522-WANG.
You're hearing news on KNX 1070.
The U.S. dollar lost ground in Tokyo today and fell even further in European trading. Dan Revive reports from London.
In Europe, the dollar fell to 139 yen, down around 2%. Against the West German mark, the dollar fell to a 7-year low. In terms of British pounds, a 5-year low for the dollar. Official European banks bought dollars to prop them up. Stock markets are not doing much better. London suffering a loss of greater than 4% today. Depressing the London Stock Exchange, the government's plan to sell its shares in British Petroleum. Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
Stock prices also fell in Hong Kong and Tokyo, with those markets down by about 1%. The Sydney Exchange gained 4% plus. And after gaining 53 points yesterday, Wall Street is suffering a midweek slump. In the first half hour of trading, prices are down sharply. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has so far plunged nearly 66 points. The stock market still has a long climb to pre-crash levels. Ray Brady reports the economy will be feeling the ripple effect of all those lost billions.
As if the stock market were not enough, Wall Street this morning has a new worry. What will happen to the economy because of all the money that investors lost in the great crash? Money they now won't have to spend. Economist Bruce Steinberg has been adding up the numbers.
Consumer spending would have been rather sluggish under any conditions right now. Now that they've had the shock in terms of the major stock market setback, basically, consumer wealth is much lower than it had been, something like $800 billion to $1 trillion lower. That's equivalent to almost the entire savings of the 1980s. It's just gone.
Usually, when consumers cut back, they start with big-ticket items, new homes and automobiles. Yet home building and cars are major influences in whether the U.S. economy moves forward or back. So the bad news consumers are getting from the brokers of Wall Street may mean more bad news for the merchants of Main Street. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
The Senate last night passed an historic expansion of the Medicare program under which elderly Americans would be protected from the financial ruin of catastrophic illness. The 86-11 vote followed administration agreement to support a compromise version of the plan, which must now be reconciled with a differing House-passed bill. Under the plan, a patient's out-of-pocket doctor bills would be capped at something other under $1,850 a year. Hospital bills would be covered for 364 days a year after a one-day deductible that currently runs $544. Current law limits Medicare hospital payments to 60 days. All this to be paid for through higher premiums. 8 past the hour.
Good news. Nissan wants me to talk to you about human engineering and hard-body trucks. But first, I'd like you to think about the major differences between people who drive cars and people who drive trucks. For instance, a car person would say something like, excuse me, I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't lean against my car. Whereas a truck person would say, hey, dog arms, get off my truck. When driving, car people tend to avoid things like potholes, whereas truck people tend to create things like potholes. Now, while you probably don't keep yourself awake at night thinking about stuff like this, the people who design trucks at Nissan do. Understanding what people want out of trucks before we build them is what human engineering is all about. So not only do Nissan hard-body trucks have features like tough steel, big tires, and big cargo volumes, they also have things like roomy cabs. Like they say at Nissan, just because a hard-living, honky-tonk kind of guy wants to drive a tough truck doesn't mean he shouldn't be comfortable.
Nissan hard-body trucks, built for the toughest race of all, the human race.
KNX 1070 News Radio.
These leftist demonstrators spent the night outside the U.S. Embassy in San Salvador protesting Monday's assassination of the country's top human rights activist. They had marched to the embassy with the coffin of Herbert Anaya. 10 past the hour.
Southern California Dodge dealers present The Visible Difference.
When you compare the California-equipped Dodge Shadow to the Nissan Sentra SE Sport Coupe, you can see a big difference. We'll take their features.
Sentra has standard features.
Yeah, right. Can you get a turbo engine like the one on this Shadow?
No, the Sentra doesn't offer a turbo. But it's got ashtrays and padded sun visors?
Well, this Shadow's got a 770 powertrain warranty.
That's over twice the Nissan's 3-year powertrain warranty.
What?
Nothing.
But the most visible difference is that the California-equipped Shadow comes with air conditioning and over 45 other standard features. Yet it stickers for about $500 less than the comparably equipped Nissan. Kind of makes the Nissan pale in comparison, don't you think?
The Nissan's got a rearview mirror, windshield wipers.
See the visible difference at your Southern California Dodge dealer. And while you're there, check out the 770 limited warranty. Restrictions apply. For a free brochure, call 1-800-4-A-DODGE. That's 1-800-4-A-DODGE.